Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. We've got the whole crew here. Rick just realized he doesn't have a microphone in front of his face.
I need one of those.
And he's got to talk, so he moved it over. Good morning, guys. How are you?
I could just yell like this.
Yeah. We'll send a telegraph. I don't know. Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah. Welcome to our 1 hour show. I mean, we were off last week. We had a pre-recorded show for everybody, right? Because It was Thanksgiving weekend. How'd you guys, how was the weekend for you guys?
It was good. We ended up it was a quieter weekend.
It was one of the quietest ones.
The kids were gone and my sister was gone. Yeah. So
it was like one of the quietest ones we've ever had, I think.
Really?
I hosted at my house. Yes. My mom didn't even have to host at her house this year.
Cool.
That was an amazing meal too. Yeah. That was incredible.
We did steak and lobster and scallops and shrimp.
Ooh. Totally different type of one.
Yeah. All the fresh veggies from the garden, the beets, potatoes.
Beets,
carrots,
potatoes. Everything's good. Garden.
Yeah, it was great.
On my wife's family, we did the traditional turkey. That was good. It was excellent. And my mom and dad's side, we did a stuffed pork loin that had apple and raisin and onion and some stuff kind of in the middle of it. It was really yummy too. So so it was good. I'm still working on, the extra pound or two that you get from eating for 3 days straight.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing. If it was just one meal, big deal. But, we spent like 3 days doing Thanksgiving stuff. Yeah. And, now you got a problem, right?
Yeah. So I had another one last night because we were at the Optimus Hill Gala last night.
Oh, in Saskatoon.
In Saskatoon. So for the little ski hill that's here and fundraiser. So, ate again.
Ate again. Right on. Okay, 1-877-332-8255. We're going to get to the text line in a second. You can join us for a text. You can join us for a call if there's something you got a question about. Where are we at with the Garden Center? What's going on right now in the Garden Center?
Well, right now, people are coming in with questions, mostly with their tropicals and bringing things in, and they've noticed maybe I've got some bugs on my plants. So a lot of that, a lot of pruning questions now that the leaves have sort of come off the trees of crossing branches. What should I do? Or now I see maybe a little bit of black knot on my tree and I didn't see it before when there was leaves there.
And questions about, I just had one this morning about can I transplant a tree still, So there's lots of those kind of questions that are happening that people are still out in the yard. It looks like for the next 2 weeks, it's going to be pretty warm.
Yeah, I really haven't looked at the 2 week forecast. It's looking good.
Like we're not
by the end of the week, we're in the plus double digit numbers.
Yes. Really?
Yes. And I think the lowest we get is like -3 type of thing. So, it's going to be, I was talking to a landscaper last night and he's going to be going till, for sure, he needs to the end of October. To finish a lot of projects he's doing. So, and hopefully he can get another week into November and still get even more farther done, a lot of projects. So,
What we're doing at the Garden Center right now is we're preparing for winter. And so, we've sort of decreased all of our plants. Our perennials all got a good water and we cut them all back.
Okay.
So that's been done. And
blew out the irrigation on Thursday.
Blew out the irrigation. Oh, so we've completely slowed down on watering. And this will be the last week that people can pick up plants at the Garden Center, pretty much. And then they'll be going, we put them under a big thermal blanket for the winter time.
Right. Yeah. Pile them all together. Yep.
Pile them all together and put them under a thermal blanket so that they are good to go for next year.
So that's kind of the end of this one week left kind of thing.
1 week left and then everything goes to bed, call it.
If you can believe it, like a week out from yesterday. So next Saturday is the farthest one of the forecasts goes till. And one of them at least is showing Regina 17 next Saturday and sunny. So yes, we are going to see some shower activity probably around most of the province later today, tonight, and tomorrow. Different forms, different amounts, but some precipitation.
I imagine a lot of it's the spinoffs from the hurricanes that came up through Cabo San Lucas and then spinning stuff up here.
And then we got sunshine after that. So that's pretty cool. 1-877-332-8255. Let's jump over to the text line and find our first one here. Barb from the Battleford says, I went to cut back an iris a few days ago. There's something a little bit strange about it. So we got a picture from Barb and it is, I think, maybe this area she's looking at. We'll describe it for you in a second. Does it look like it has a bud forming? If it's a bud, should I leave it or will it affect whether it blooms in the spring? So it looks like it's this, maybe this stalk right here.
Yeah, it's got some new growth forming there. It looks like it could be a bud stalk. I actually just picked some iris flowers out of my mom's garden a week ago. And so things did tend, because we had a late start to the season, they tend to bloom a little bit later. Cutting that one stalk off is not going to harm your plant. However, your plant does look quite green in that picture still.
Doesn't it?
So I would wait for the frost to hit it a little bit harder and wait for the leaves to turn yellow before I cut it back. That's the bigger thing.
I was driving around the area around the radio station before we started the show this morning, and it is downtown Saskatoon, in a very old neighborhood, like 112 or 15 years, that sort of thing, or more, and near the river and all that sort of stuff. And I was driving looking like, wow, why? It's amazing sort of the microclimates that some parts of the city experience, because in my house out in Martinsville, you know, and we're like one block away from the field, like it's pretty wide open. You know, the frost hit everything and it was all, you know, kind of turned to mush most of the hostas. Here, there's lots of really nice green stuff still.
Yeah. Hydrangeas are still blooming.
Yes, with leaves on them, no less. Whereas everything in my yard is already pretty much, you know, done.
Yeah, like the sedums still look perfect in my house. I've got some hydrangeas on one side of my house that are just beautiful and perfect still.
So, I have some fall asters that are about 4 feet wide and blooming like crazy still. Yeah. And the bees are coming to them because there's only flowers around just about.
So,
but yeah, there's about, my grass was growing. I was thinking, okay, I'm going to have to dewinterized my lawnmower, I think, and maybe do one more cut.
One more cut, yeah. I did one yesterday and put the lawnmower away for the final. Yeah. I think it's not going to grow anymore. At least, I don't know. I'm not watering it, that's for sure. So anyways, to this texture, yes, like you said, a bit more frost, right? And it might take a little longer.
It will shut down by itself, but I wouldn't cut it back quite yet.
Okay, there you go, Barb. We're going to get to Jamie's text and Brenda's as well, but we've got calls that are coming in. We'll get one of these done before the break. Let's go to Blaine Lake right now and talk to Glenn. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Good. I've got a bunch of volunteer spruce trees, and I wanted to do some transplanting. When's the best time to transplant them?
Well, they're little volunteers. Are probably just short ones, right? Maybe 6-8 inches tall. Is that what you're looking at?
No. I'm looking at 2 and 3 footers.
Okay, well, you can move them now as long as you can water them in. Okay. You can, move them in, but the best to do is for those little guys is that make sure they get good snow cover. So putting up a snow fence or something around them or close to them or something close to them so they get covered right up with snow so they don't have their little tips sticking out of the snow. That's important. If you don't have time this fall, then move them in within April, sometime in April. Okay. But otherwise, you got lots of time to transplant them right now. Just make sure you take a good ball of earth with them, okay?
Yeah.
And then get them watered in really well, like freeze them into the ground, basically. So water them right now when you plant them, and then water them one more time when you see the ground starting to freeze, when we start hitting minus 10 and that kind of stuff, and it's warmer during the day. Give them one last watering so that they freeze right in, closer to the end of October, okay?
Covering them with straw help, like the little one, the smaller one?
You can. The only thing you gotta watch putting them with straw is that you don't want to attract some voles or mice and eating those plants all winter long. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
That'd be my only concern there. But like I said, if you have some snow fence or something like that, put some stakes in the ground and put a row of snow fence so that they get covered up right completely. Because it's the spring. It's March and the first part of the week of April, when they start sticking out of the snow, is when the tips will burn on them, okay?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But otherwise, they're volunteers. They're going to be pretty tough because they're acclimatized to your area already.
Yeah. There's lots of them.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be worried about plant transplanting right now. I see neighbors. My neighbors has planted around 12 big 12-foot spruces just this week here. So it's not a problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, Glenn. 1-877-332-8255. That's a good point for us to take a little quick break. Gail, hang on the line. Gail wants to know about the best rose bushes to plant. I guess it depends where she is and what she wants. So we'll find out what Gail's looking after, and we'll get some recommendations for her in a second when we get back, plus text from Ernie, Brenda, and Jamie, and even more. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Happy Sunday morning, and welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Okay, we got text to get to, but calls always get to go first, so let's do that. We got 1 hour of Garden Talk for you. I guess 45 minutes left, really. You're 40 minutes left, so here we go. Out to Regina right now, we're going to talk to Gail. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So tell us, you're looking for a rose bush?
Rose bushes that grow good in Regina.
Okay.
West-facing house.
West-facing house. So you're going to put it up against the house, or are you going to put them out in the yard?
I think they're putting them in the yard.
In the yard? Okay, so there's a whole bunch of ones that will do good. Do they have a special color they like?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so if you want pink, if you want pink, then the ones I would suggest is Morden Bell is one.
Morgan?
Morden.
M-O-R-D-E-N.
Morden Bell?
Yeah, Morden Bell.
Okay.
Or Morden Centennial. They're a pink one. If you want a light pink, then I would go with a Morden Blush is a good one.
And those ones are a nice double rose, too, whereas a lot of really hardy roses that you're going to find, like the older ones, are a single rose. So these ones, the Morden series, are a nice double rose, too.
If you want a nice red one, then Emily Carr is a really good one. Or Hope for Humanity.
That's an old one.
Yep, those two. If you want one that's more of a multicolored one, is one called Campfire. And that thing blooms like, right, it'll bloom until the snow comes. It just wants to bloom like crazy.
That's pretty neat, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it has think of a campfire. The campfire, you look at it, it's got so many different colors in it. That's what this rose has. Then if you want white, the one that has the Morden Snowbell or otherwise Blanc de Couvert.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big, ruffle white one that's as old as the hills, but it is tough as nails.
Okay, and could you say that word again?
So B-L-A-N-C-D-E, Couvert, C-U-B-E-R-T.
Yep. And if you want a yellow one, then Bill Reed is probably one of the best yellow ones for...
Got that.
Okay.
Yep.
And if you want a climber, like one that you put on a trellis, then there's John Davis and Felix Lecure. Lots of blooms on them. Both pinks.
So none of these, Rick, will need special care, will they?
No. None of them.
Okay.
No,
I got them. I have them all. Pretty much all of them. I don't have all of them. I don't have a Bill Reed, but I have most of those out at my acreage, and I'm out and wide open, so it's fine.
So my dad has always been the rose guy, and so when I was little, we used to always take cuttings and go out to the farm and take cuttings. And the rose day was always my worst day because my dad liked roses so much. We'd always have to take so many rose cuttings.
It'd be all full of thorns.
My hands would just be like, oh.
Yeah.
So, does that work for you, Gail?
That works for me, and thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Gail.
Have a great day today.
Good luck.
Yep.
Take care.
Yep.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we're going to keep moving with the calls. Here we have one other one in Saskatoon, and let's get Sharon on. Good morning, Sharon. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine.
Excellent.
I have a question about a succulent that I've had for probably 10 years. I bring it in and out from the garden every fall.
Awesome.
It's called Copper Golden Spoons.
Okay.
Okay. I have the real name for it, but I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, don't worry.
Anyway, it's about 26 inches high. And most of the leaves are in the top 6 inches. And I'm wondering, if I prune it, how far back can I prune it? Because it looks really spindly at the bottom, and then there's all these leaves at the top.
Yeah, so this one's in the Calancho family. And so what you can do is you can take any of the leaves that fall off of it, just sort of peel them off, put them on some soil, and you're actually going to start getting some little baby plants out of those leaves if you want. What you can do with the top of your plant, you can cut it off wherever you'd really like. And then if you want to, you can take that top and just set it on some soil and it will root as well too for you.
Or how about putting in a jar of water? Will it root in that too?
Not the succulents as much. They do better when you just sort of set them on the soil.
I've done this with one of mine, Sharon, that it's not the same one, but it's a similar kind of thing. In fact, I think it might even be a jade, but they're close. And I literally just cut it off and left a stem about 3 inches long or 2 inches long. I got rid of the original plant, the roots all, put it in like nice new fresh soil, took that top and just stuck it in the soil, like as if you were planting a stick, and then it's got its leaves on it, and you just keep it watered. That's it. You got a brand new plant. It just goes from there.
Yeah, and even the stem that's left over from it, even if it only has a few leaves, you're going to find wherever you cut, you're going to get some new branching from it too, and you're going to get some new leaves coming from those areas as well too. So I think the biggest thing is when we do trimming on our plants, we tend to think, oh, you know what, like I need to water them more, or we're watching them more often when we do that, and so we tend to care for them more, and then that's when the plant tends to suffer, when we start overwatering them. So just really watch that you stay consistent to what you've been doing, even though you've done some trimming on your plant.
Okay. All right. I'll give her a try. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yep, you bet. Thanks, Sharon. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, over the text line, we want to get some of these answered. Jamie says, good morning. Thank you for the show as always. Can you walk us through what we should be doing with our existing amaryllis plants? Mine has two great big leaves on it now, and it's been inside as a houseplant near a grow light since last Christmas. I'm hoping it's not too late to get it to bloom for Christmas. Can you let us know how to deal with them from now until the holiday season in terms of light, dark, water, fertilizer? That'd be great. Jamie's in Watson.
So, Jamie, first of all, you have to make it go dormant for a little bit. And this could be even just putting it into a dark place it's actively growing right now. So putting it in a dark place for a couple weeks, like in a spare bedroom, away from a window, just sort of put it in a dark place for a couple weeks. It can be a cool place, too. You got some leaves on it, so I wouldn't necessarily take it and throw it into a fridge right now.
No.
But a dark place would probably work and do that for, I would probably say, about two to three weeks. And then you're going to bring it out, and then it will probably take about 2 to 3 weeks to bloom again. Now, ideally, what you would want to do is you'd want to slow it down on water right around September, and you would want to allow those leaves to die back a little bit, put it into a cold storage for 6 weeks, and then bring it back out right before you want it to bloom, and it takes about 3 to 4 weeks to bloom
again. Or at the end of August, just put it outside and then bring it inside once it gets before it starts getting frost at night.
Yeah.
Right?
So it needs to have a dormant cycle in order to do it. Now, with it being already end of October, you can still do that dormant cycle. It just might bloom a little bit later. You might have a New Year's amaryllis instead of a Christmas amaryllis. So that would be the only difference.
What I did when we had an amaryllis at home, what I did with mine too, is that I pulled it, even had some leaves on it.
Yeah.
I pulled it out of the pot. And I replanted it back in the same pot.
Yeah.
And that stress from moving the leaves caused it to put its spikes up.
And that's also a good practice to do, because then you can feel the bulb, make sure that it's nice and firm as well too.
And if it needs a little bit bigger pot.
Amaryllis should be planted in quite a small pot, so you should have no bigger than an inch on either side of the bulb in diameter.
Wow.
So make sure it's in a nice small pot with well-drained soil is really important too.
And fertilizer. Is there anything you should be doing with that?
You can just add some bone meal to it when you bring it back out again, but while it's going through this dormant stage, you definitely don't want to fertilize it.
Okay. 1-877-332-8255. This is a simple question. Is it too late to move lily bulbs?
You can move lily bulbs anytime that once the leaves have kind of died back down. If the leaves haven't died down yet, you can move a nice big root ball with those bulbs. But no, you can definitely move them. Or if you want to put stakes where they were, you can always move them in the spring too.
And if you still have some tulip bulbs or daffodils and you haven't got into the ground yet, or garlic bulbs, you can put those in the ground as well. Yeah. Absolutely. Lots of time.
Okay, right.
Yep.
So we can do tulips. We can do what else?
Garlic.
Garlic, daffodils, crocuses.
So we can still get them in.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of time.
And it's just watering them in, and then that's yep. that's
and then
it, right?
Got, and the first thing in the spring, because they have to go through that cold spell to bloom, and then first thing in the spring, you have these beautiful flowers coming up.
Amazing.
This would be a perfect week because we got some nice warm weather, so to get them rooted.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Okay, we're going to come back with lots of texts after the break, but right now it's time for a news update. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. You're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday morning here with us. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick, and welcome back to Garden Talk. 1-877-332-8255 is the number you call and the number you text. And we had some good texts that have come in. They're all good texts, but quite a few to go through, so we're going to keep doing that right now. Brenda is in Young, and she says, I've got a beautiful miniature tea rose that was grafted to a 2-foot trunk. It is still blooming.
Yep.
Can I save it outdoors on the east side of a house? And so there's a picture of it right there.
Well, it looks like it's in a pot with petunias around it, or in the ground with petunias around
it. Yeah, it might be, yep.
One thing with a grafted rose bush, a tea rose bush, is you have to bury the graft under the ground in order for it to survive the winter. And it's not just bury it, it has to be like a foot and a half under the ground.
Oh boy.
Where that graft is. Now, we have done it the way where you can dig a little grave beside it and cut into half the ball and kind of tip it over into that grave. That's the way that
you cut one roots on one side of the ball.
Yeah.
And leave the other roots attached, and then you just tip it over.
Oh, right? Wow.
And now what you do is then you put some leaves and that kind of stuff over it, and then you put some plastic over top of it, and then you can put some leaves again.
Yeah.
And then you can keep it right in the garden.
Keep it right in the garden. The other way is if you have a cold storage room or a garage that stays between that consistent, like under 5 degrees.
But above freezing or above?
Above freezing, or it doesn't go below like -5.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And it stays consistently in there. What you don't want to be is like freeze thaw, freeze thaw, freeze thaw. You don't want that to be all winter. So you can bring it into that type of area and you just sort of add a little bit of moisture. It's going to drop its leaves. And
maybe water maybe once a month type of thing.
And let it go dormant that way.
So this is one of those things that, like, if you lived in Vancouver or Victoria, it would just be a wonderful plant outside all the time.
Absolutely.
But it's not really designed for where we live, is
it? Any of those are usually a zone 5 to 7.
Okay.
So a lot of people will get those and just treat them like an annual. Go get a new one next year.
It's kind of like how most people around here do with palms.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like
tropicals, like lots of people love. We buy two every year and put them on our deck because I just love the tropical feeling. Then you're sitting, on the deck in the backyard, and it's got some of those palm trees around.
I was at a restaurant and I saw a whole bunch of pots that are yesterday, and they still have the banana plants in them, and all the annuals didn't look very good, but the banana plants still looked really good.
Yeah, I've tried to save the palm tree. But I just didn't have any success.
Yep.
No. So it's one of those things that
they're tricky.
You just keep it. You just buy new ones in the
spring.
Unfortunately,
but that's part of gardening being a hobby is trying some new things and trying something that's challenging and seeing, hey, is this going to work for me? Yeah.
So for Brenda, I guess there's those two options. If you don't have that space that stays that -5 to +5 thing, then the only other option is kind of burying it. So if you need more information on how to do that, send an email to info@dutchgrowers.com. Right. And then they can give you some step-by-step guidelines. And if it doesn't really make sense,
we're explaining that process for sure.
There you go. All right. Let's move over to a text from Ernie. Ernie is in Saskatoon. Says, I planted potatoes in my raised garden bed, used potato fertilizer. Tops were huge. Potatoes were small. What is the issue? How do I correct that in the soil for next year?
Yeah. Sometimes in a raised bed, our soil is a little bit too soft. It's got too much compost in it, too much organic matter.
He said he put in a raised garden, right? And he fertilized it.
Used potato fertilizer.
Fertilizer. So you got to watch how much you use. Okay.
Mm.
Go by the instructions on it.
I think especially when you're in raised bed, because there is all that organic matter already in there.
So like skip the fertilizer is
like,
what you're saying?
Way less.
Yeah.
Right, because the raised bed, you usually have a triple mix or a really heavy duty compost that doesn't go hard on you, right? But then, like I said, all that compost is lots of fertilizer for those potatoes. My daughter she brought over some potatoes. Mm-hmm. They were giant, they were huge, and she has a raised garden as well.
Cool,
but she doesn't. I know that my daughter, she doesn't. The other daughter, not you, Jill.
Not you, Jill. Yeah.
She does basically waters it and she doesn't fertilize it
it's
much.
It's a once and done thing.
It's a once and done.
Yeah. Right.
Put it in and let it survive.
Yeah.
If it grows, it grows.
If it doesn't, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So maybe for Ernie, it's just too much love.
I think it's too much love, yep. Especially when we have other vegetables nearby and maybe we're it's getting some fertilizer from that area as well too. Okay. But as far as amending the soil for next year, I would just say have a look at that soil first of all. See how much of organic matter is in there. You want to have a little bit of organic matter, but it does better with just some topsoil and some not great soil.
And the problem,
it's kind of like rhubarb in the same way.
And you can't really
right?
pick a spot because otherwise you're going to be planting potatoes in the same spot every year in that raised garden, and you don't want to do that. You want to rotate them, mm-hmm. right?
So right. Okay. So maybe just skip the fertilizer then.
Yep.
Okay, 1-877-332-8255. We got a call in. Let's go to Lestock and talk to Ron. Hey, Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Pretty good. I am not sure. I always get a little hint from a producer what the question is, but I don't even know what you're getting at here. So take us through.
Okay. I listened to your pre-recorded Thanksgiving show.
Awesome.
And then Jill brought up that, going to the farmer's market. And then I'm sure she said that she bought pickled dilled peas.
Yes, they were really good.
You know, but it's funny you say that.
Because my mom, she took that as that I make them. And she says, Jill, you just lied on the radio. You've never made these pickled peas. I said, Mom, you weren't listening. I got them from the farmer's market.
Okay,
they're not in the pods anymore, are they?
They were in the pods.
Oh.
Yeah, they put the snap peas in the pods, and they just dilled them like you would dill pickles.
Okay.
So they pickled pods. It's
like
pea pods.
It's like pods. Just like canning the pea pods, right?
Yes. Okay,
but are they cooked? Are the peas cooked?
No, I don't believe they were. No, they were still crisp.
And crisp, okay.
So you'd pick them out and open the pea up and eat the peas out of it then?
Yeah, exactly. They had cut the ends off the... Well, we ate the... Like, they were snap peas, so you eat the shell and everything, and they were nice and crispy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, never
you just
heard
cut
of
the
before.
Two ends off of them so it gets rid of that sort of woody part of the pea.
A little stem on the little spike.
And then they put them in the jar and just dilled it. Oh, they were so good.
Yeah. Hey, Ron, that's your challenge for this fall.
Thanks a lot.
Got to make some canned dill peas.
Yeah.
All right. Catch you later. Thanks a lot.
Okay, right. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. See, look at that. I mean.
That's so funny because we came home last weekend and my wife said the same thing.
Joe, why are you lying?
Why are you lying?
I'm not. You got to try these.
That's funny.
So good.
1-877-332-8255. Okay. This is from Ryan, who's in Prince Albert on the text line. Ryan says, I just had to haul in 3 yards of topsoil to fill a sinkhole I discovered in my front yard. Is it too late to spread grass seed on it, or should I wait until spring?
You know what I'd do is I'd wait till spring, or what you can do is just wait another week or two.
We got too much warm weather is the problem.
We got too much warm weather. I don't want the seed to sprout if I'm going to put it down right now. And mm-hmm. we do have some, you just talked about some double digits and some moisture coming as well this next week. So I just want to rake it in and just let that grass sit there, right? And
right.
And then germinate first thing this spring. But, you know, for that reason, why not just, you know, in the middle of April, just seed it then. You know, you don't have to worry about it blowing away or anything like that.
Or washing away. You know, like as the snow melts, it may carry a bunch of it away, depending on the slope, things like that.
It depends how big of an area you're doing. I mean, the commercial people, they're doing it like crazy still right now, right? So they want to get it down now so it comes, it takes that moisture because they don't have irrigation in a lot of those areas. They want to use that moisture to be able to get the grass to grow. So if you're on an acreage or something like that, then definitely you could do it.
So first choice, Rick, wait till spring?
Wait till spring.
Second choice is you can do it this fall, but you got to wait a week or two?
Well, just
because it's too early.
You don't want the ground to freeze.
Yes.
Right? You got to sort of time it, right? And you're getting pretty close because the nighttime temperatures right now are near zero, so it's most likely not going to germinate, even if we do get a couple of really warm days. Because it takes 5 to 7 days to germinate, and with the nighttime, the soil's cooling off. So, you know what? You could chance it by putting it down any time between now and the end of October.
Okay, there you go, Ryan. Good luck with your choice, and have fun with that new lawn.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We got the lightning round coming up next. All the texts are going to get answered, and it's the last segment of the show already. Can you believe that?
Wow, yep. That was so fast. Yeah,
pretty quick. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. All right, time for the lightning round here on Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick, and we're going to get all those texts answered as much as we can here on the air in our last segment. This is from Regina, don't have a name. If you do, text us. Name is great. It helps us answer the question. It says, I've kept this poinsettia over from last year. It developed brown spots in the leaves over the summer. At first, I thought it was too much sun, maybe. But I Googled it. Maybe it's a fungus. Is it salvageable or should it be dumped, you know, as per the Google advice? I'm currently doing the dark treatment, which is the 14 to 16 hours. I just trimmed off all the diseased leaves and took them off. So there it is right there. That's that little poinsettia. Looks pretty nice, actually.
Yeah, it looks really nice. If you want to, you could even do a little bit more trimming on the top leaves just to make it a little bit more
even
and a bushier plant. Mm-hmm. It probably was a fungus that you did see on there. If you do see the fungus coming back, you can get a garden sulfur or a garden fungicide spray.
I'd probably use, for that type of fungus, I'd use copper sulfate.
Copper sulfate. You could spray it right on the poinsettia leaves that way. Remember, with funguses, you're helping it spread. You're not preventing the look, or you're not fixing the look of the leaves. So once they've got that fungus on them, they're going to stay looking that brown. So doing what she did and pinching those leaves off, it just helps the plant promote some new leaves.
Okay.
Now, I was looking at some pictures of my crops that are coming out of my poinsettias, and they look similar, maybe a little bit larger, and the leaves are just starting to get a little bit of hue of like a purpley color right now, which means that the red's starting to come through. So yours is probably just a little bit further behind that. Continue doing what you're doing, and I think you'll be fine.
Awesome. Okay. This is Brent, and says, my question is, my back lawn has hundreds of little tiny mounds under the grass, making it difficult to even walk, and it's difficult to cut the grass, too. The ground is rough. Our front lawn is fine. It's just the back. Any ideas what would cause it, and how do you fix it?
Well, you probably have either have a webworm, but most likely what you have is all those bumps is you just have night crawlers, just big earthworms. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so the best thing to do for next spring is get yourself for next year, for right away in the spring, get yourself a bird bath or something, and attract robins to your backyard. And if you put a bird bath out first thing in the spring, if the robins see that water there, they'll nest somewhere close by. And if they go after, they'll clean up all those kind of worms, that, because there's no chemical that'll get them, okay? So you got to use a natural predator, and that's robins.
Now, with having poor soil, should he maybe overseed or maybe put some fresh topsoil down to get those bumps out after this and then reseed? Or
you can just cut it nice and short in the spring, just like you're going to thatch it and everything else. Cut it really short, and you put a little thin layer of screen topsoil, and just put some overseed it with a light seeding of grass seed, and then you'll level it all out. Not a problem.
Okay, there we go. This is Cooper, who's in Watson. He says, I heard you guys talking with Gail about roses. I think I'd like to get my brother a rose for in front of their house. What's the best time to buy one and plant it?
Yeah, in May or up to anywhere from May, and when you want to see them blooming in the garden center, they usually bloom in the first week of June in the garden centers, okay? That's when we sell the most roses.
We always bring a flush of hardy roses in around Mother's Day, because we sell a lot for the Mother's Day season. So you can go to the garden centers, usually get them then.
Yep.
But if you want to see what they look like in bloom, you want to be picking them up around the first week of June.
There's probably no roses to pick up right now, is there?
There's some. Yep.
But is it a good time to plant them?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Just I would mulch them for the first winter.
Okay.
And that's a lot of times, if you're giving them as a gift, they aren't looking very pretty at this time of year.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. They're not looking great.
Yeah.
Selena is in Parkside. Good morning. Is it possible to get that list of roses texted to me? Okay, Tina. We'll see.
You know
what?
I'll talk to my marketing team. Maybe we'll put a blog out this winter on favorite roses.
Yeah.
And you can visit us on our website for that.
Yeah, that's right. So head to DutchGrowers.com for that one. This is from, sorry, not sure who, but says, good morning. I'd like to plant onion sets this fall and wondering where to purchase them in Saskatoon.
Onion sets, we don't get them until the spring.
The spring.
I actually just finished placing that order 2 days ago for the spring. Yeah. So they'll be arriving around week 10, which is middle of March.
Yeah. Those ones you don't plant in the fall, you plant first thing in the spring.
Okay, so there you go. Where to get them? Well, Dutch Growers, of course, but there's lots of places.
Lots of garden centers you can get. And one thing that's really neat is they have mixed sets now, too. So you can get the onion sets, the multipliers, and maybe even some red onions all in one package.
White onions, everything.
If you want a mixture, but you don't necessarily want to commit to doing a huge space, you can get a little bit of everything.
Okay, perfect. Daryl is in Saskatoon. The bark has fallen off my poor old elderberry tree. Is it going to be done for? He says the shovels are just for staging, getting ready for winter. But look at the bark coming off that thing. Wow.
You know what probably has happened to that one? That looks like It's old, right?
Yeah.
But also the cats love using those elders as a scratch board.
Even the neighborhood cats might not be yours, right?
They might be yours, whatever, but they love them. They, this type of bark where they love using elders as a scratch board.
Now, is it that tree too far gone or where it's done?
You
or
know, if you wanted to, it's going to take about 3 to 4 years. You could cut that right down to the ground and start it all over again if you want.
So is that what we were?
Yeah.
We
should, or you can cut it down to, you know, 4 feet tall or whatever, and it'll come back like crazy. It'll come up with two or three spikes coming up, and they'll grow about 5 feet tall next year. And then, but once they get about 3 feet tall, trim the tips and get them to bush
so
out again.
So a whole elderberry tree, we can cut it right to the ground.
Right to the ground.
Wow, that seems crazy.
Yep. And you can do that basically any time here in October or, you know, during the wintertime. And you cut it right down to the ground. I've done it before, but it said you're not going to get it in 1 year back. It takes about, because the first year, you get a couple spikes up. Yep. I trim them, get them bushier. The next year grows another 6 feet tall almost and more branches out of the bottom. So, yeah, definitely you can do that.
Okay. That's one of those ones that you, are almost scared to cut like that, though, because it looks like a tree, right?
They're tough. I get a whole bunch around my yard because the birds, I have some native ones that are in the bush, and the birds sit on top of my trees and poop out the red elder seeds, and underneath every tree I got a red elder growing.
Oh boy. This is from Pat, who's in Saskatoon. Can you keep a canna lily plant growing over the winter, and will it continue to grow and flower in the following summer? It's been growing in a pot in a 3-season deck space all summer, so I'm not exposed to the wind or the bugs. Very healthy. I've had the plant for 3 years, and in previous years had prepared the plant for winter and re-sprouted it or repotted it in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought it'd be nice to keep it in the greenery over winter.
Yeah, you can, and you're going to have a beautifully green plant. But to get the bloom again, you're going to have to let it rejuvenate itself. And even over time, if you don't let it go dormant for a period of time, the leaves aren't going to come back as strong as well, too. So with a canna, let the frost hit a little bit, cut it back.
But if you have one, you might want to keep like that as a plant like that.
Go ahead. Then you can enjoy a green, and then the rest of them you can put dormant and allow them to reuse.
So, Pat, sounds like what you're doing is worked really well over these last 3 years, but you can give it a try, I guess.
If you want to, it is a tropical plant. So if you wanted to bring it inside the house and keep it as a tropical, just make sure you have lots of light or add a grow light.
Okay. Time for our one last one here. This is from Sue. Had to cut my desert rose plant to get rid of the rot in the middle of the plant. Did that. End up with the top piece and the root pieces. Let them dry and callus over. Replanted in good drained soil. How do I water to encourage new growth on these? Want one with the roots to grow and the other one want the top to grow. You know, which is the way to water from the top of the bottom.
Desert rose, very little water. They are in the cactus family. So you have to remember in nature how it goes. They usually are watered by dew or by a rainy season. So water them a lot once and then let them dry out.
And she's new soil. Hopefully use cactus soil as well. Well-drained soil.
Yeah, okay. And make sure there's a nice hole in the bottom of the pot. Yep. You can use some cactus fertilizer on it just to maybe promote some new leaves as well.
That's pretty much it for us today. We'll get a few more texts answered off the air, but thanks for joining us. We'll be back same time, same place next weekend. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This has been Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.